Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, your co-host for this very special Christmas edition of Ask the Pastor Now. As always, we will read God's Word and find comfort and peace in the only valid source of peace that remains a constant. In addition, this is Christmas time, and we want to share some thoughts with you. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, good evening.
Well, thank you, good sir. I appreciate that. And it's very good to be with everyone at this Christmas season. Depending when you're listening to us, we're airing today live. Tomorrow we'll still be alive, I hope, but it will be a recording of today's broadcast. So giving everybody more time with family and friends. And if you're alone, let us be alone with you at that time, because it's a special season. You know, I don't think people ever realize that, and I've known those Christmases when I was totally somewhat isolated, and you suddenly feel, it's very easy to feel alone at that moment, and where you don't want to cross the line is over to lonely. It's one thing to be alone, but to be lonely is hard and painful. But remember, when you are alone, you still can be alone with God. And it's a different kind of situation. He can take away that sense of isolation and replace it with strength and refreshing and grace. And it's an amazing difference. You can go from isolation to confidence, to joy, to comfort. And that's especially true at Christmas time. And so we're very thankful to be back with our Ask the Pastor Now listeners. And before we begin to explain about our absence, our regular listeners may be very aware of the fact we've had a recent absence, let's begin the right way and have Brother Jim, as always, open us in prayer.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts. Adoration, Father, when we stop and look up and imagine how vast this world is, we look at the stars, we see how vast the universe is, and we know that you spoke it into existence. You created each and every one of us uniquely. There is no comparison. Why can't you be like your brother, or why aren't you like your sister? We have the answer now, Father. We understand that. Because you made us unique. There's not another person on the planet like any one of us. And as unique creations, we are your handiwork. And we admire that, Father, and just stand in awe of how vast and grand your world is. Father, we love you. We've come together today. Tomorrow's Christmas, and what a great thought, the day you came down the staircase of heaven with a baby in your arms. Exactly the gift we needed that satisfies our need for a Savior. And Father, we give you the glory for this. We ask, Father, that you would superintend this program. May it be a blessing to someone, not just tonight, but perhaps years from now, when they listened from the archives and they needed this word. So, Father, we ask you to use us in bringing God's word to people. Father, we love you. In the name above all names, we make this prayer. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, and our Christ, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And again, a very Merry Christmas to our listeners. And I just want you to know how much we value and appreciate y'all spending time with us. And you may have wondered, did we disappear? Did we fall off the planet? Well, I think Jim was intact. I fell off the planet. what happened. Hard to believe now, it's been a couple of months. I was necessary to take a break in the broadcast, not for any problems, no mysteries of, sometimes, especially on anything that comes off internet-based, if you're disrupted, people presume all kinds of conspiracies and, have you been blanked from the airwaves or anything like that? Nothing like that at all.
Right.
Maybe this is a good time to remind people, by the way, there is file footage out there, so you can always go back and listen to different topics, different broadcasts, and that's one of the beauties of having it set up the way it is. So you can always scroll back and find more material. But regretfully, in fact, Jim, it was interesting. I looked at the calendar of when this happened, and it was the Wednesday prior to our broadcast. We primary broadcast comes out Thursday morning, and Wednesday, right around noontime, I found myself, heading out to the hospital. It was a matter that I'd been having some issues come up and couldn't quite nail down what was going on. Being a manly man, I naturally called my physician and explained the situation.
Yeah.
And he said, you should get to the hospital. And I proceeded to explain to him why I couldn't go to the hospital. I had too many things to do. And loved my doctor, great individual, Dr. Nguyen. And what I loved was, as we began to wrap up the conversation, and I'm still telling him why I can't go to the hospital, he was kind enough to point out the fact that I called him. So clearly there is a need out there. And so I wound up in a little while at the hospital. And folks at Southwest Memorial here in Houston were just marvelous. Turns out that I had colon cancer. I suppose technically I still do. I'm now at a stage where I'm undergoing chemotherapy, and we'll be doing that for, as we wrap up December, five more thrill-packed months. Has there been time of physical pain? Oh, yes, no question about that. But great staff and great blessings of God. The blessings far exceeded any pain or discomfort. I hope, as Christians, especially if you have gone down this road or something similar, you can appreciate what I'm about to say. It's not that I didn't have times and days of pain, but to see how God could work, to see how he brought into my path people that I was able to encourage that I might not otherwise come in contact with, it was an amazing thing, and I'm very grateful for that. Jim may recall that I was even cautioning some people because they, after several of the surgeries, you're doing physical therapy and occupational therapy, and had actually like a area for exercise and such. And I was cautioning people. I said, please don't tell people that I'm exercising or I'm getting physical conditioning.
Yeah.
Because first of all, nobody would believe it. They know me better than that. So, yes, I will encourage you now. Might not have done it before, but I will encourage you to be more careful about your health. And, if you really are convinced you're indispensable and the world just won't continue without you, then maybe you should take better care of yourself. And, that's simple reality. We cannot work, 8 days a week and it not take a toll. And so, Jim, you'll be happy to know I'm cutting back. I think I'm going to go back to like 6.5 days a week, so something like that, But, Jim was very gracious and kind to be praying and supportive all that time. And, I want you all to know that we missed you. And you may say, I said, what, we don't talk that much, or it's a one-sided conversation. You're always welcome to call us. I suppose if we gave the number out more often, that'd make that easier, but it is actually displayed on the screen if you're doing it via the internet as opposed to by your phone, but either way will work. You can, of course, always call us at 646-716-7765 if you have a question. or a comment you'd like to throw out there, we'd love to have that conversation. But Jim, you were kicked back relaxing all this time while we had that break. Is that what was going on for you? How was your side of the world?
Well, it was so interesting because we've been doing this program for, what, over 5 years now, I think. And,
seventh year.
So here we are, this interruption, and you get into the habit. And it's first thing I had to do is turn my phone off that woke me up every Thursday morning at 5 o'clock. You know, we don't need to do that right now. But it's so amazing how what's going on in your life has affected so many, because you are a director of a very large call center at our church. You've got many volunteers that depend on you, and you were joking about 8 days a week. Well, I did the math. There's only 7 days, but truly, you're always at the church. And I can't recall, I think you took a day vacation. What was that, back in 2010 or something like that? So it's not unusual. But what a dependency. Your volunteers, I mean, they all were asking about you and thought maybe I had a little more insight. And it was interesting because during this time, it's that you encouraged, you told us, hey, do what you do. Keep doing what you're doing. We still have a lot of work to do at the church. And so you're sorely missed, and I mean that deliberately. I say sorely.
Nice choice of words.
Not been easy
sorely.
For you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you've enjoyed some weight loss, which, by the way, you need a tailor. But anyway, it's been a real change, and although it affects you more, it affects you with a lot more pain and suffering. The others are looking in, and we're seeing how you handle this and how you're always in prayer. You're always asking others to pray for you. It's never been a question of, has he lost his faith? No, not at all. He's encouraged our faith. So we really appreciate you sharing this journey with us. And, you know, I've encouraged you to write a book. And I'm not going to let up on that. This is your third book. I've already decided how it should go, and I can't wait to see how you deviate from it.
Okay, well, you know, just you might want to start getting your crayons out so you'll be ready for the book when it comes out. So, yeah. Actually, that's funny. I knew a gentleman who had done a Christian coloring book, and I was amazed. It took him several years to try to get that forward because it's like publishers could not, and this was some years ago, they couldn't get their mind around the idea of a Christian coloring book. It's like, you know, you don't even think about it, but virtually at that time, almost all coloring books out there were just secular. So this idea of it having a Christian message was very unusual, especially at the time. So, it's amazing. Maybe there'll be some writing coming out there soon. And this time that we have together, it's special. And again, I want to emphasize that I missed you all very much. One thing I did think was funny there, Jim, you commented about the having to reset your alarm clock so it wouldn't be waking you up for the program. For those who have ever stayed at the hospital, I'll remind you that you don't have to worry about anybody waking you up at the hospital. That's just one of their training skill sets they do. You know, you may not even have anything scheduled for that time. They'll still wake you up to see if you're sleeping. So interesting philosophy they take, but again, great doctors, great nurses and staff, and amazing physical therapists. Anybody who can get me exercising is an amazing person, you know. So you know that's pretty special. You know, one of the things is much of 2020, and you notice even our title today, Christmas 2020, Can You Quarantine Your Heart? And, you know, there's been so much emphasis on quarantine and controlling everything from, do you wear a mask? Do you go out in public? Do you, you know, I'm surprised we don't have restrictions on going in private. But the point is goals that are set out there to try to keep ourselves healthy, to help us stop the spread of germs. One of the things that I find myself even joking about, even when I was over at the doctor's office most recently, I said, you know, isn't it a good thing that we had this? Because, you know, if it wasn't for that, you know, nobody would know they're supposed to wash their hands. You know, I'm always amazed with that, that we drive that point home. Not that it's not important. It's just I would have hoped that at some point in growing up, you may have heard we should wash our hands and stay clean. That's so important. And it's an amazing thing that I know people have objected to when you're in a crowded environment to be wearing a mask and using some basic wisdom and direction. You know, it's understandable because we have a strong sense of freedom in America. And what we mean by that is we don't really like people telling us what to do. There has been historically a sense of independence that said, I accept personal responsibility to take care of myself and my loved ones. And I think perhaps coming through the 60s and moving forward, and especially in the last year or two, there has been a sense of that being perverted. And what I mean by that is we've retained a sense of independence, but it's become so secularized that what we're doing sometimes is just only thinking of ourselves and not showing compassion to others. And that compassion is the real strength, the real Christian emphasis that comes through in your life. As a Christian, certainly we communicate the message of the gospel. Certainly we are grateful for our salvation. But those two elements come together, and based on our relationship with Christ, we find part of being Christ-like is this overwhelming sense of compassion for others. And so while the world is consumed with the virus and we're praising God for the record time in which vaccines have been developed and continue to be rolling out even as this broadcast is going on, we have to realize in Christ there is more to life and Christmas than a virus. And what I'm encouraging people to do, obviously, take care of yourselves, obviously maintain good health, but don't become so obsessed that you're not able to realize this is Christmas. There's a bigger message that has to be gotten out there. You know, if we were as effective at spreading the gospel as we've been able to spread the word about the virus, it'd be a pretty amazing world. And so we're not going to mandate you to know the gospel. We're going to let you choose to be faithful to God. The more you know his word, we'll remind you of it. But we want you to draw closer to Christ because there is his strength. God has already sent his son for us. His son has already given his life for us. He's already resurrected. That was God throwing the stamp of approval on there, saying that he accepted the payment for our sin. And now it's a simple question of, will you accept that gift? And if you wonder, how does that revolve around Christmas time, then you've missed something very, very important. And I'd like to ask Brother Jim to just simply tell us from a biblical perspective, tell us about that. What has it got to say from a biblical time perspective?
You know, I wanted to just, I don't want to leave this topic for just a moment before we go forward. You're reminding me that the United States, who we are a Christian nation founded on Christian principles, you have been in the military, you've served our country, and I just, while you were talking about this virus and this race to get a, do we call it a vaccine? Do we still call it a vaccine? While we're racing to do that, did you ever have the thought, just like I did just moments ago. I'm always a little late to the table, but I had the thought. Do you remember how desperate World War II was? And the race, the atomic race, the nuclear, or as we used to have a president say, nuclear, how this race to a vaccine was no different than the race to develop a weapon that would save thousands, literally thousands of our boys in this conflict, and how God enabled us. And I'm thinking about this vaccine. None of this to me is happenstance. I think this entire situation that the globe is facing is God at work. He's trying to teach us something. He's made us, I think, in the United States, a great deal more appreciative of having God's hand on our nation. What would it be like if we weren't? And I remember, you may not have been born yet, but I was a young Cub Scout. And I remember, I don't know if it was the Coliseum, it was just a big area. And I remember standing in line to go up and get vaccinated. You remember that salt vaccine, salt? And I just remember how we didn't have throngs of soothsayers saying, well, it hasn't been tested enough, and we've got this and we've got that. But you think of diphtheria, you think of scarlet fever, all of the things that have come about, and how we've taken vaccines without a lot of a lot of committee work. Isn't that interesting?
Well,
and so,
you know, you've always been sort of the macho guy, so they push you up forward as a little boy, said, here, let's try it on him, and if he tries it, then we'll all go. So I think that's why they had you on the front of the line. We never told you that before. I hate to break it to you, but yes. So you were our guinea pig.
Be prepared.
I just don't know if you knew
that. That was our motto. Be prepared, and in God we trust. And okay, so
and let Jim do it first. Okay.
But I think it's this is not happenstance. We're by no means trying to minimize people who have lost their lives. We've lost some pretty wonderful people during this time. It's been a wake-up call. We're starting to understand this is, can you imagine what life would be without God superintending this? So just a thought. In biblical times, while the world was consumed with secular, this is what God was promising. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Pastor, isn't that just a unbelievable promise? This is what God was promising. It hadn't happened yet. We hadn't had the first Christmas.
Yeah.
Isn't that a very, I'm not playing on this word, but isn't that a very pregnant verse?
It really is. And, you know, you want to talk about viruses. God went after the biggest virus of all, and that is the virus of sin. You know, that's the one that was out there. That's the one that has been passed down for generations. And the amazing thing is that God brought us a cure. And the question is, do you take his vaccine? Do you take the real cure for sin, sickness?
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, sin brings forth death. And, you know, well, we have to realize that he so loved us that his son would come to this earth. And just as you read in the scripture, it was a fulfillment of this incredible prophecy. And, you know, if you think defining and identifying and developing a vaccine for the virus that we're facing today, this, do you realize how much more amazing to create a virus for sin that had already infected the world? And understand, I mention this because it's an easy thing to get confused on. People sometimes think of, well, you know, what happened to the people prior to Jesus coming to earth and being born of a virgin and giving his life for us. I said, it's the same way. It hasn't changed. In the Old Testament, they were exercising by faith the promises of God, the promise that there would be a Savior. And us today, we accept by faith that the promised Redeemer came and resurrected. So it's the same plan of salvation. It's just, you know, which side of the cross you're on. If you're looking forward to it, you're from an Old Testament saint, and you are grateful for what God did later in their lives. But they knew he would do it. That's the part they, for them, that was faith. For us, it's the faith that we are claiming that resurrection, the finished work. And so it's a pretty amazing thing that any way you look at it, it is the plan of salvation. Any way you look at it, no wonder Christmas is powerful, because we take and choose to take this moment and celebrate his birth, his coming to earth. And so if you're one of those people, in fact, just this week I had somebody that was, you know, on the edge of being irate over the fact that, well, you can't prove to me that the wise men were traveling on the 24th or the 25th, and, you know, okay, but I hope you can at least grant me the, you know, because I know they probably weren't on the 24th or the 25th because they were men, which means that none of them were going to stop for directions. So that's why God had to give them a star to follow. But
that's right.
The reality is, folks, when we come to the 25th, and in fact this entire season, what we want to do is to say, let's put the brakes on everything else we're doing. I think the birth of a Savior, the Son of God, is worth spending some time and giving thanks for and celebrating that fact. And so, you know, I don't mind celebrating Christ year-round, but I do think it's pretty special to have a time when the world can put the brakes on and say, listen, this is worth remembering. This is an amazing thing. Jim, you know, we talk about this from time to time, and who the world finds important and who God finds important, I think that's rather bizarre sometimes, the way the world focuses on things. And, you know, here it is, Christmas season. I was trying to catch the weather report this morning, which is not that easy. It's probably been quicker just to open the door and step outside. But, you know, I had the news on, just wanted to hear the weather, and said I had to hear them, you know, praising everybody that, you know, they considered valuable and important. Now, do people bring something to the table that's valuable and important? Yes. But it's the values that were confused. Here's what I mean. They recognize them from athletes to politicians, you know, and the press is hanging on every word. And I'm thinking for most of us, you know, we're touched by people in our lives that God raises up, you know, regardless of what the world is thinking as superstars, you know. So if you've got your favorite, you know, sports hero, you know, okay, that's fine. But I'd rather have you find somebody that it's not just their sports, it's not just their knowledge base of, you know, mathematics or history or anything, but share with me that person that has really influenced, touched your life because of how God was in that life. Those things you will learn from them that is absolutely stunning and amazing, and those are the things that become very portable. They have become a part of your life, and you walk with them, and it will change your life. And what's also exciting, it gives you an opportunity to touch other lives as well. Jim, share with me, if you would, and our listeners, obviously, someone who touched or is touching your life.
Pastor, that is a very, very long conversation, because we're very blessed at our church to have a pastor that, you know, I've known him for over 40 years, and he is just so gifted. And he'll be the first to tell you, let me get out of the way and let God's word prevail. And that's, it's humble, and he brings God's word. But, you know, interesting, here of late, I love trivia. I love Trivial Pursuit. Nobody will play it with me because I get so excited about it. And, of course, you know this, Pastor. I know everything, right? So, and I'm quick to let others know that. So Trivial Pursuit is so much fun, but I have taped at, I think it comes on at 12 o'clock locally, Jeopardy. You ever watch Jeopardy? And
yeah.
Here's Alex Trebek, who recently died of, it wasn't prostate cancer, but he died of pretty quick cancer. Mm-hmm. But throughout this time, he was working every day. And I watched that program enough to know that I saw a change in that man. I've shared with you a couple of times where the questions, actually it's the answers, right? The answers mm-hmm. on Jeopardy, and you had to formulate a question, were more Christian. I saw that man. He knew he was dying, and he knew that he had, we're all terminal, so that's not a surprise. We're all going to face death sooner or later. But here was a man that I saw a great metamorphosis. He was changing. There were a lot more questions dealing with the Bible than I had ever seen before. It's not my imagination. I'm certain that I saw this. And so I admired that change, and I saw God's hand in Alex Trebek's life. But I think to answer your question, who influenced me the most, I can't tell you how many years, but as a young boy, being mesmerized by Billy Graham. You know this. Back when, you remember black and white TV?
Oh, yeah.
But Billy Graham, he always spoke exactly what a common person like me needs to hear. It was not flowery. It was not those big compound theological words and all of that. It was, this is what the Bible said. He never said, this is what Billy Graham says, and this is what I believe. He said, this is the inerrant word of God. And we even use in our call center the Billy Graham handbook, helping us be able to speak to the callers when they call in for prayer. We use the Billy Graham handbook a great deal to get to the basics. How do you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ? And isn't it interesting, Pastor, what it takes for some people to start to question? I'm not invincible. Didn't you, when you were a boy, weren't you invincible? nothing can stop Jim. He's invincible, and my pride and my arrogance. But when you start to face real life, you start to get older and wiser, and you see around you those that do not have that saving knowledge of Christ and have not stepped out in faith and accepted Jesus, we, as involved in our church, we see what's going on. You know, I have been for many, many years an avid newspaper reader, because I, like most people, I think, both sides, let's examine this and let's get the truth. Let's read behind the scenes, because when you watch TV, the newscast, it's so fast. I've thought about, Pastor, if somebody said, Jim, we want you to run our network. You can see that happening. If I were going to run the network, I'd say, folks, slow down. Let's quit racing, and as you know, I tape everything so that I can fast forward through the commercials, and I make fun of the commercials because that's a huge business, and it's sitting there. Let's get you in front of the TV so we can sell you something. It's a great idea. Somebody made a great decision, but we're not getting truth. So, Pastor, I think Billy Graham would be the one I would hold up as one of the most influential in my lifetime. You and I both watched, you know, our superheroes would be Roy Rogers, Batman, you know. But Billy Graham spoke the simple truth of God's word. Am I right?
Very true. Very true. And, you know, for myself, I always seem to fall back to, you know, a couple mm-hmm. different people. But one that was a tremendous father figure in my life was a man named Guy Fuller. And I think people who have never met Guy Fuller, he's since gone to be with the Lord, should be very grateful for his life, because what I know about compassion as a man, I learned from him. And his grace, his kindness, his love of God, but to the greatest extent, I would say his sense of genuine compassion had a powerful influence in my life. So, you know, I realize it's the grace of God in my life that allows me to have compassion. It's the more I know about him, the more I know about what God has done in my life. But he taught me God so much through Guy. You know, at a time in my life when I needed that figure, he was there. And to see such a balance of compassion, too often I think men feel like they've got to have this tough exterior. And, they, you know, we need men of character who can be bold and can be strong. But it cannot come and sacrifice compassion. You need to have that. You know, it's funny. I've seen a couple of old Westerns on this week. And one of the things that I thought was Audie Murphy, of all people, was in there, and also a great American hero. But what was interesting is the fact that to see, you know, not only the strength of the character he would be playing, but the compassion that had to be there as well to show any kind of goodness to other people. You can't be just rock-solid legalism without it taking a toll, both on yourself and on those around you. There has to be a balance. If you're a Christian, you had better get a hold of compassion. Remember, it's the grace of God that gave you that to start with, that sense of compassion, because he showed us compassion. He showed us love when Christ died for us. So as you think about that, think it's really a matter of focus. How do we look at life? How do we face whether it's Christmas time or whether it's the middle of summer and you're dealing with something? If it's a stress in the home or a stress on the job, whatever it is, think about your focus. We are obsessed, as we said, about fame, notoriety, what's popular, what's really important as Christians, as Jim and I have shared some of the people that's been important in our lives. Well, honestly, I think the Gold City Quartet actually said it best in a wonderful little line from a song, and maybe that describes it as he allowed this to sort of overshadow how we think of Christmas, how we think of the steps we take as believers into other people's lives.
Came here to sing a song for Jesus. You may laugh and sneer as you walk out.
Interesting. How about something truly classic? What about the true Christmas story, Luke 2?
That's a great idea, Jim. I mean, that is our foundation. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. You know, that amazes me. It sort of startles me to think he'd get the IRS involved in bringing the Christmas message to us.
Right.
But, you know, it just reminds you that God can use something that appears to be totally secular and bring it around in such a way to be performing his work, his business. And so we see here in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Interesting. And, you know, verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. You know, Pastor, I remember one of our programs months ago, and you said, Jim, who was the first to hear about the birth of Jesus? And I thought, oh, my goodness, Joseph, maybe he was there. And I started, but it was the shepherds abiding in the field. And in these three verses, 6, 7, and 8, isn't it interesting that she should be delivered? How they talked about bringing forth a child, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now, let's stop there for a minute. Did they not have polo? Did they not have Marie, what is it, Saint Laurent and Ralph Lauren, all these different fashion designs? There was significance in every word in these verses, in swaddling clothes, such humility, such fundamental, basic, just needs warmth, just need clothes, swaddling clothes. I'm not sure I really understand the word swaddling, but I think of just rags. And laid him in a manger. Now, a manger. Isn't that interesting, Pastor? It wasn't a bassinet. It wasn't an incubator or any of those things we have in modern science, because there was no room in the inn. And there were, now, first off, don't you think there would have been somebody, oh, she's expecting a baby. Here, take my room or join us here. No. And there were in the same country shepherds in the field. Once again, he didn't say great entrepreneurs and businessmen and women. No, he said shepherds. Wasn't that the lowest on the totem pole as far as professions, Pastor?
Absolutely. And, you know, there was, if you're polite, you called it a fragrance. The truth of the matter is that they smelled like their flocks because they spent time with the flocks.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a good reminder for pastors. They refer to us as shepherds, and maybe we should be spending time with those that we're trying to shepherd and lead, and not become, put ourselves on a platform and separate ourselves. We need to spend time with people. And it's just an amazing thing that this union is taking place, that these we're about to receive our Saviors. And I think that's powerful. Verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You've got to realize just how unusual a situation this is. It's an amazing time. We tend to lock down on the Christmas season when we read these passages, and so we act as though everybody there was celebrating Christmas because it's the birth of Christ. No, actually what was going on is they were going to pay their taxes. They were having to travel this distance. It's not a surprise to me that people weren't saying, no, take my place at the end, it's okay. Because, you know, people get stressed when they pay their taxes. They get stressed when they're having to, you know, part with a resource. And so they were thinking highly secular, and yet there were still some that as they looked around and saw what was taking place, realizing that the promises of God are about to be fulfilled. And so, yes, the angel of the Lord came upon these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Jim?
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You know, Pastor, I see that and I'm thinking, this sounds pretty calm, but back just a little couple of verses, what happened? The angel appeared, and what did the angel say, as we hear angels say each and every time? "Behold, be not afraid." So this is not commonplace, and to have an angel show up, you're going to be afraid. If the Bible is teaching us over and over again, angels scare us to death. I remember you wrote a book about Daniel, and what happened? Mm-hmm. Daniel fell like a dead man, and the angel picked him up and put him on his feet. Now, I don't know what I weigh today, but for an angel to pick me up and put me on my feet, powerful beings. But don't we always fall on our face in front of an angel?
It's pretty stunning. And, you know, it's intriguing that last little verse you had there. He's talking about that they get ready to travel, right? They come to pass. They're going away from heaven. The shepherds say, "Well, let's go unto Bethlehem." All right. So as you say, you know, they've just gotten this angelic message. They've just seen all this taking place around them. And so do you think they're going to say, "Well, yeah, maybe we ought to put that on our calendar and see if we can schedule a time to do that." You know, not according to verse 16, because, see, that's the thing. Sometimes we just think of shepherds as, you know, people or children we saw in a play or just little figurines at the bottom of our Christmas trees in a nativity. And what we need to realize is what verse 16 said. They came with haste. You know, now haste was not, you know, somebody that was helping them load the camels. No, haste means they got up and got there. They were not dragging their feet. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. If you doubt any of that, by the way, how do you think we came to know this? God used these men to get the word out, and then it was later documented in the Word of God, and so we continue to help get that word out. Verse 19 is quite powerful, but it's a short little one sentence. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. Do you think any mother would forget those incredible moments that happen in their child's life? And this is not just any child. This is both her child and her Savior. She knows that this is truly the Son of God. And all these things that are happening, all these appearances, all the people that are interacting, she's storing these deep down in her heart. And that is something that we have to recognize and get a hold of. Jim, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think back on the time that I grew up with two younger brothers. It was the three boys, and mom and dad had a great panache. I like to use that French word every once in a while. Panache about how to not favor one over another. And you and I have read the story many times of how Jacob favored one over the other and the problems that created in a family. But my Christmas memories is three of everything. We would wake up Christmas morning, couldn't wait to see what Santa had brought us. And it was just wonderful. Back then, Pastor, we had pajamas that had feet in them, you know, so it was like a one-piece outfit. And we'd come running into the front room, which when you see this front room today, Pastor, I think our entire house is smaller than you know, and so we would see this vast living room that was really a small closet, and this Christmas tree, and under it was three of everything. I remember cowboy boots, three pairs of cowboy boots, with the hat that had this drawstring that tied it around your chin. I think of one year as we got older, these little bicycles. They were police. They had a windshield on them, and it was a police car. These were little bicycles with training wheels, three of them. And we just, it's some of the fondest memories is how Mom and Dad knew about jealousy, knew how to raise these kids. How did they know that? Because I think back, and that's what they instilled in me. We recently had a birthday, one of my grandchildren, and Sonia's concern was, well, you know, little Claire, she's not getting anything. So we had to get something for all three, but our focus was on the birthday boy. So it just fond Christmas memories of how thrilling it is for children, and the thing that we should have been celebrating the most is what this is all about. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely, and I think it's important to understand that as we talk about Christmas season, having the right reason to celebrate, not letting the secular things of the world to overshadow us, that for some of our listeners, maybe that is news. Maybe that is something different. They're wondering, how can you see all that goes on and still find a peace in God? How do you go through cancer or any other sickness or any other stressor and still have peace that we speak of as Christians? The answer to that is something that we know and are grateful for every day of our Christian life, and that is that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Jim, if you'd be kind enough, why don't you take a moment and share with our listeners how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Pastor. And you know, in the book of Romans, Paul writes to the Romans and he explains so clearly. We use this time and time again because it is clear how do we come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Chapter 10 of the book of Romans, verse 9 and 10. If you're able to get to a Bible right now, open it. That is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what does that mean? Jesus, I have sinned. I recognize I have sinned, and I want to be clean, and I come to you and ask you to forgive my sins. So, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's pretty miraculous. That's Easter, right? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that important? That God has done all this for us. He knew what we needed. We needed a Savior. Some don't even know that to this day. Why do I need a Savior? God knows. And then he goes on in verse 10, just a little twist on the same verse. For with the heart, emotions, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, Pastor, if tonight someone steps out and says, I don't know everything about the Bible. I've not even read it all the way through. I knew a little bit back in Sunday school when I was a kid. So if they stepped out tonight and they said, Jesus, please forgive me, and believe that God raised him from the dead, that's Easter, there's victory over death. If they did that tonight and they accepted, we believe that you got saved. And if they got saved tonight, Pastor, could they mess up next year, next week, in about an hour? Can they mess up and lose their salvation?
Absolutely not. We have to understand it's the gift of God, and he is the perfect giver of the perfect gift in our salvation. So we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate a new life in Christ. And throughout 2020, all that's been going on, we also want to give thanks to those who have been very special in our nation, those who so faithfully serve, our military and their families who greatly sacrifice.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, and to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.